Brothers and sisters, currently, Manmin is going through a trial of blessing. Through this, God will have our beloved senior pastor fully satisfy the justice and achieve the completion of power of creation. In this end time when our Lord's coming is just around the corner, God will save billions of souls with His astounding power and lead thousands of souls to New Jerusalem, thereby finishing off the providence of chemo cultivation with a magnificent ending. We ought to firmly believe in His providence, trust the shepherd to the end, and come forth as perfect fruit of wheat, and be used as spiritual warriors in the end time. There are kinds of wheat. There are perfect wheat and just wheat and even perfect wheat, there are different grades. We should become the wheat of the best quality. In my opinion, a perfect fruit of wheat refers to those who remain steadfast in heart in any kind of tests or trials. When farmers winnow the grain, the wheat that is filled inside remains on the winnowing fork while the chaff is blown away by the wind. Likewise, those who endure to the end with an unchanging heart are called the wheat. Of course, those wheat believers don't find this situation demanding to endure. With trust in God's providence, they rejoice in hope. Next, perfect fruit of wheat refers to those who've abundantly borne good fruit by following the words of the sanctification senior pastor has shared with us. As you know, there is a hierarchy in heaven. Senior pastor taught us that our rank is decided by our level of goodness. It's because Father God, who is goodness itself, delights in goodness. For this reason, those who abundantly bear good fruit are perfect wheat. To bring forth such good fruit abundantly, it is essential for us to achieve a good heart. By the way, to achieve a good heart, we ought to have good thoughts. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 reads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me." Senior pastor told us that the door on which our Lord knocks is the door to our thoughts. To accept the Word of God into our heart, first, we have to open the door to our thoughts. In other words, to make bread of the words and possess faith, what we have to do first is to break our thoughts. Moreover, to achieve a heart of truth, it is crucial that we have the right kind of thoughts. Thus, we all have to bear in mind that having good thoughts precedes achieving a good heart. While our thoughts are not good, how could we possibly achieve a good heart? Today's passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 also urges us, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after what that which is good for one another and for all people." No matter the occasion, even if another person does evil against us, we are advised to seek after goodness. The verse indicates that it is crucial that we seek after and think in goodness first. In his Spirit, Soul, and Body lecture series, Senior Pastor explained about the operation of the soul belonging to Spirit. He told us that to come into Spirit, we have to have our operations of soul in the truth. Simply put, in order for us to achieve a good heart of truth, we ought to have good thoughts only. I pray that this message will greatly inspire you to always pursue good thoughts, quickly achieve a good heart, and thereby come forth as perfect fruit of wheat. To pursue good thoughts, first, we ought to have positive thoughts in all affairs. Thoughts which are good in God's sight are receptive to faith. One's faith begins with positive thoughts. As for people who always see things with negative thoughts, it is hard for them to have faith. In having faith, we need to be simple-minded. If we question everything with our frameworks of knowledge, it's difficult to understand the spiritual realm. As for me, I came to church after leading a debauched life in the world. Even though I was healed by the shepherd's prayer, because my sins were deep-rooted, I couldn't figure out the origin of God who says, I am who I am. Obviously, I'd been healed of a brain tumor and seen many evidences of the living God. But involving my fleshly thoughts, I suspected that there must have been someone else before he existed. How could he come into being on his own? Such thoughts went on and on. In efforts to remove such thoughts, I said to myself, I'll know everything in heaven. Why should I bother thinking about that? I have to focus on my life on this earth. Let's not think beyond that. In order to have faith, we need to be simple-minded sometimes. During home visits, I've often met people who find it difficult to have faith because of their worldly knowledge. Working at the weather center, one of the search members knew well about the solar halo. As he heard people talking about circular rainbows at this church, he was agonized. Later on, he could change his thoughts, witnessing all the amazing works happening at this church. But before that, he lived in agony so much that people around him were so concerned and heartbroken. Of course, worldly people also see solar halos. They are optical phenomena produced by sunlight interacting with the ice crystals suspended in the atmosphere. Yes, that is true. But the circular rainbows we always see have distinct seven colors like the one surrounding the throne of God, as we find in Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Moreover, these rainbows are not rare phenomena to us. Let's give glory to Father God. But they appear to mommy members who long to see them regardless of time and space, almost every day. Particularly, as the evidence of God's being with us, they appear when we have church events, making us spirit-filled and joyful. The same goes for moving stars. In the Bible, we find that stars guided the Magi to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. On many occasions, moving stars have been seen by our church members with longing hearts or during church events. But if you involve your flesh thoughts like considering the distance among stars, how could they move like that in an instant? You only agonize yourself. We can find the record of moving stars in the Bible, and many of our church members have seen them. They sometimes moved zigzag or suddenly slow down or sped up while moving across, all of which are totally incomprehensible by man's thoughts. So we shouldn't try to understand these phenomena by our knowledge. But by faith, we have to admit that such phenomena are possible just as our Lord ascended into heaven in an instant. By the way, such positive thinking plays a crucial role in our achieving goodness as well. Let's say you see a glass half full of water. Some of you with negative thoughts would complain, why is the glass only half filled? On top of that, if the glass is only 10% full, you'd be more upset. But others with positive thoughts would be thankful. I'm happy that the glass is still half filled. Even if the glass is 10% full and 90% empty, you'd say, even so, I can take a sip of water. Depending on your way of thinking, you can be either upset or be thankful. So, which category do you fall under? Let's talk more about Thanksgiving. People with positive thoughts are always thankful. There are two kinds of Thanksgiving, fleshly Thanksgiving and spiritual Thanksgiving. Fleshly Thanksgiving refers to being thankful for visible conditions. But with our hearts arrogant, it wouldn't be easy for us to have even this kind of gratitude. Only when we lower our hearts, remember difficult times, and stay thankful can we have such gratitude. When people are rescued from an extreme environment, some of them confess that they are so thankful for the simple fact that they can breathe. Even when he lived in great blessings or in peace, senior pastor remained content, always remembering difficult times in the past. In addition, he advised his family members not to forget the days when they were in need financially. I was deeply moved to hear that. I think you, all of you have difficult times. If you remember difficult moments, you can always stay thankful. Also, as we lower our hearts and think about those in more difficulties, we can be thankful. Recently, I had a chance to visit a church member tormented with a lung disease. He was so discouraged because he got stricken with the disease even though he'd prayed diligently. Hearing this, I reassured him that because our Lord's coming is near, God allows some church members to be stricken with cancer to awaken them spiritually. As I reminded him that he was so fortunate that he didn't get cancer, he changed his thoughts and began to have a thankful heart. Since he overcame that trial with thanksgiving, he's made a speedy recovery and lived a spirit-filled Christian life. Thus, even if you are involved in a car accident, you can still be thankful for not being injured more seriously. Next, let's talk about spiritual thanksgiving. Even while you have no reason for fleshly thanksgiving, you have reasons to be thankful for from a spiritual viewpoint. Living an upright life, Job was acknowledged as blameless by God. But by the God-permitted trial, Job lost all his children and possessions. Yet, he remained thankful. But as he was afflicted with sore boils all over his body, he saw his situation as totally incomprehensible and began to lament and curse his date of birth. Job's friends, who traveled a long way to console him, judged him and rebuked him. From this point on, Job argued with his friends. He even went to the point where he judged God, insisting on his self-righteousness. God waited for Job to reveal all his evil and then answered him out of the whirlwind. As God enlightened him on his providence of creation in detail, Job repented of his ignorance. We can find that out of his love, God let Job go through this process to multiply his blessings, lead him to a perfect level of faith where his trust in God never wavered, whatever the situation, and allow him to be one of the greatest ones in heaven. I believe that as Job passed these tests and achieved perfect faith, his heart was filled with gratitude as he figured out God's love. Like this, as we grasp the providence and love of God who allows a trial, our hearts overflow with thanks. This is spiritual thanksgiving. When someone bothers us, we have to understand the providence and love of Father God who's allowed that situation to make us grow in wisdom, expand our hearts, or discover and cast off remaining ill feelings. Only then can we live with spiritual thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to always live with positive thoughts and thus overflow with gratitude. If you overflow with gratitude, you will overflow with God's grace. In turn, you will overflow with blessings. To pursue good thoughts, second, we should always consider others' positions. Even when someone behaves in a way beyond our understanding, we can figure him out. If we consider the following three aspects, first, his weak faith, second, his deficiencies of the body and shortcomings, and third, his situation that forced him to act in such a way. First, we have to consider his weak faith. We learn many words of God, but even if we know them a lot, it's not easy to practice them right away. As our Lord said to His disciples, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We need strength to put the words of God into action. For this reason, we pray every night for the fullness of the Spirit and seek God's grace and strength. Let's say we are still weak in faith and lacking power to practice the words, then we would expect others to understand us rather than to point out our faults or shortcomings. Likewise, when we see someone with shortcomings, we have to consider his weak of faith, understanding with a generous mind, and think in goodness. Next, we have to consider the deficiencies of the body and shortcomings. Even after we come into spirit and achieve sanctification, still, there are a lot of processes remaining to make ourselves holy in all aspects and come into whole spirit. As for some people, even though they have a pure heart, they may have deeds of the body that have to be fixed, or they may have a grim look on their face. Or, under God's permission, they may be in a trial to discover and cast off their original or sinful natures. At such times, we shouldn't judge or condemn them, but understand and expect them in goodness. What if they are your own children? Even if they commit a big fault and get criticized by many people, if you are a parent with a good heart, wouldn't you give them one more chance and expect him to turn from their ways? You would think he's a good-hearted by nature but ended up like this because I couldn't raise him well. You would put the blame on yourself, wouldn't you? Back to the point, lastly, we have to consider his situation that forced him to act that way. Even though someone is obviously at fault, he may have reasons for his behavior. Nowadays, because we have more mature funeral customs, it's rare to see such a scene. But many years ago, when I was attending a funeral, the hearse driver ignored traffic lights and sped on with no regard for other vehicles on the road. Even though, I think you agree with me, if you have followed a hearse when you attended a funeral, even though he ignored traffic signals with the blinkers on, police officers didn't stop the car. Back then, we didn't have GPS navigation in cars, so other cars headed for the barrier site had to follow the hearse close behind. Even when these cars ran against the traffic lights, the police didn't pull them over. The drivers obviously violated the traffic laws. But understanding their situation, funeral, the police overlooked it and didn't catch them. While I'm behind wheels, I also find myself in perplexing situations when I see drivers running right in front of me, suddenly changing lanes without turning on the blinker. I feel uncomfortable. But as I try to put myself in their shoes and think in goodness, like they must be in an emergency, there must be a reason they're in a rush, I begin to feel comfortable. One day, I overslept and rushed to arrive at church on time, But a taxi running right in front of me suddenly came to a stop. If the driver had slowly put the brakes on, I could have changed lanes in advance. I was about to feel upset, but I tried to put myself in his position and thinking, goodness, like his customer could have asked him to stop all of a sudden. The customer is always right. With such thoughts, I felt comfortable. Brothers and sisters, if we only consider our positions, we may feel uncomfortable when another person's behaviors don't agree with our thoughts. But if we consider his positions and think in goodness, we can understand anything. Thus, rather than judging him, we ought to think in goodness and try to figure out what caused him to act in such a way. In doing so, we can understand anything in goodness. Let's say this to one another. Let's think in goodness, putting ourselves in other shoes. Thank you. To pursue good thoughts, third, we should regard our situation with the heart of God. This has two meanings. First, it is to think in God's loving goodness. Second, it is to think about the providence of God who allowed the situation. First, let's talk about what it is to think in God's loving goodness. In God's heart is only love and mercy. No matter how great of a sin a person committed, because God's loving kindness has no limits, He wants him to repent and be saved anyhow. Just as parents wouldn't forsake their child who committed a crime. We've been taught that while we have to detest sins, we should have mercy on the sinners. This is the heart of Father God. During home visits, I met a church leader who never wanted to see a person who troubled our church and the shepherd. He never wanted to see him again. But during Daniel prayer meeting that day, he heard the Holy Spirit saying, "What if that person is your own family member?" After that, he repented a lot for his lack of love. Brothers and sisters, even if one of your family members has committed a great sin, you would want him to repent and be saved. You would also plead with the senior pastor to forgive him, wouldn't you? This is Father God's heart of love. Even if we forgive him, if he himself doesn't turn from his ways, we can't do anything about it. Yet, with a heart of love, we would want to give him more chances to the end. Next, to regard our situation with the heart of God is to think about God's providence. This can be applied to our situation. Going through this kind of blessing, this trial of blessing, some people imagine negative outcomes and agonize themselves. Others, however, regard the situation with the heart of God and think in goodness. They recall the works of God, which has been manifested, and try to find out God's providence. Throughout the history of Christianity, there have been many martyrs. In the sermon series Heaven, senior pastor told us that most of them went to the third kingdom of heaven. Having learned that we have to become perfect fruit of wheat to enter New Jerusalem, we can rejoice and give thanks even in the trial, thinking God is looking for those with an unchanging, sincere heart. As for myself, I also had spiritual awakening, meditating on the providence of God. I realized that because we suffered all this to achieve a sincere heart, the enemy devil wouldn't accuse us for entering New Jerusalem easily as the shepherd's sheep. Through this, God allows us to fill up our 1% measure. When senior pastor and this church come forth as the glory of resurrection through a great reversal, God would highly appreciate our trust in Him and open wide the path for us to enter New Jerusalem. With such realization, I was able to give thanks from the depths of my heart. The same goes for the providence of God regarding this church. You know, in my previous sermon, I told you that when financial blessings come in and the completion of the power of recreation is achieved, we will be in a full-scale war against the Antichrist. For this reason, God allows us to reorganize and purify this church. I think it's the same for achieving goodness on an individual level. Recently, we've seen a series of heartbreaking incidents in which a group of people left this church and committed evil to destroy us. And some church members disrupted the order against senior pastor's will, separated from us, and turned this sanctuary into a mess by the instigation of the evil people. Witnessing such turmoil, we had a chance to look at ourselves inside and out. Even though contaminated water may look clean on the outside, if we stir it with a stick, all kinds of dirt come up from the bottom. Likewise, evil in our heart is stirred up in those situations. Even though we try to endure in goodness, we feel our fleshly thoughts and remnants of ill feelings stirred up inside. Before this trial came, when the shepherd's power was greatly manifested and we were filled up with God's grace, we couldn't dare speak negative words even though we had them in our mind. But these days, I see people easily speak against whatever doesn't agree with their thoughts, even against sermons. You know, even when I attended a different church, I learned that a sermon is the words of God spoken through a pastor. So, however it sounds, I haven't dared to speak against it. If we are humble ones pursuing good thoughts, we can just accept only what is good from a sermon. But I've heard people who judged sermons and even left the church because they were offended by them. I was heartbroken to find how arrogant we've become these days. Of course, regarding church affairs, we can make good suggestions following the order. But it's not good to criticize whatever doesn't agree with our thoughts as if we were always right. Even when we make a suggestion, we have to seek good ways and keep ourselves from being carried away by our own feelings. If we do things in goodness, our heart is at peace. On the contrary, God is not pleased when we do things out of our self-righteousness, so we are not happy. With the Holy Spirit lamenting in our heart, we have no peace. Thus, I urge you to do all things in goodness, always pursuing good thoughts. The same goes for our ill feelings. We shouldn't make an excuse, because there remain ill feelings in our heart that are provoked when we find something conflicting with our thoughts. If we admit what's in our heart and change ourselves, we can quickly bear good fruit. Let's say you stir water with a stick. When all kinds of dirt come up, we have to remove them right away, rather than turning our face away from it. I'd like to remind you that if we pursue good thoughts, we have to consider others' positions rather than our own. So we have to be respectful to other people. While I visit church members, I often hear of heartbreaking cases where people leave out those with different thoughts and don't say anything back, even when they hear, "How are you?" Such behaviors are far from senior pastor's good teachings. Also, if we say things regardless of time and space, even though we speak the truth, we are being disrespectful to others. If we post our comments on open spaces with no regard for novice believers or those with weak faith, if we keep sending messages to those who don't want us to share them, it is not good as well. Senior pastor told me that no matter how good of the words I share, if a church member stumbles because of my words, I am to blame for not considering his faith or his situation. I am to blame for the lack of goodness and love. Moreover, if we send or post such messages during worship services or prayer meetings, that could be a discourteous behavior before God. No matter how good of the words we have to consider others' positions first and think whether it would be proper to share them. Even though our words are true, if we fail to move others, they cannot open up their hearts. In other words, only when we act in goodness can we move our heart, can we move their hearts and change them. Brothers and sisters, if what we know and believe is true, the truth will surely be revealed in the end, and God will work for the truth. But to see God's work, we have to first achieve a loving and merciful heart. On many occasions, beloved Mrs. Bongnim Lee urged us to embrace, forgive, and accept others. If they were your own children or family members, would you treat them in such a cold-hearted manner? If you find your beloved family members walking down the wrong path, which affects their spiritual life, wouldn't you hold on to them and try to move them with more goodness and love? I think God is pleased with such deeds. While we are in this heartbreaking trial, all those who trust the shepherd and remain here are our precious family. It's easy to judge, condemn, and teach others with the words of truth. But it takes great efforts and patience to have mercy on them, treat them in goodness, and pray for them with tears, and wait for them to repent. How many tears have you shed, and how much did you pray for those who are on the wrong path? If you indeed love them, you wouldn't find it arduous to make such efforts. This is how we pursue good thoughts and act in goodness. When we have such a heart, God is delighted and brings us grace. Brothers and sisters, currently, this church is going through turmoil as if in the middle of a storm or a hurricane. Through such times, God has all our shortcomings and even what's in our debts revealed. In doing so, He cleanses and purifies all of us. God created the seawater to be salty so that it wouldn't decay for a long time. Still, the water could decay near its bottom. For this reason, God has the seawater mixed up from surface to the bottom through storms or hurricanes. Thus, before we accuse anyone, we should first reflect on and change ourselves. We have to do all things in goodness. Only. Recently, we saw one of the church leaders speaking up for the truth, but because he did so out of his evil anger and arrogance, as he recklessly conducted himself, he gradually lost grace and the fullness. Finally, he ended up losing his faith and being condemned by the enemy devil. So we have to learn from the cases of people who've strayed into the wrong path. Even if we attain to great faith by God's favor, because it's not possible on our own, we should never forget His favor. In addition, we should always reflect on ourselves with a humble heart and never become arrogant until we stand before God. Through all this, I think God is reminding us that we have to completely cast off fleshly attributes that may cause us to change. It's because while we think we stand, we may fall. Suppose we go deeper into spirit by God's grace, win others' recognition, and become a leader. Chances are our arrogance is revealed and we are also condemned by the enemy devil. So no matter what kind of fault someone has committed, none of us can stone him. Let's take a look at King David from the Bible. As a shepherd boy, David could have never committed a sin even after seeing a woman bathing. Because he was a king, he easily thought of taking someone else's wife and ended up committing sins. After that, through Prophet Nathan, God rebuked him, saying that he despised him. He despised him. This means David had become arrogant. Therefore, we shouldn't judge or condemn others, but always treat them with love and mercy. I urge you to pursue only good things, reflecting on yourself first, and quickly casting off remaining evil. Last year, we had a heartbreaking incident before we began the General Assembly meeting right here in this sanctuary, which our shepherd has always kept holy and precious. A group of people yelled and screamed to impose their allegations and opinions. As they turned this sanctuary into a mess, we were forced to call off the General Assembly meeting, which is a significant event to wrap up the year. We've heard that when Senior Pastor heard the news, he was so heartbroken. But herein lies God's providence. Obeying Pastor Soojin Lee, the acting senior pastor's exhortation, we stayed patient to the end. Because we couldn't carry on the meeting, all of us agreed and decided to put it off. If we had failed to stay patient in goodness and confronted them, we were not weak. We were stronger than them. So there would have been a big fight, as those evil people expected. If so, the news would have been covered by the media, and God would have been greatly dishonored. I think our good deed of avoiding the physical conflicts was part of divine strategy. Pleased with this, God consoled us. So, through this incident, I deeply realized that in urgent situations, we can be led onto a prosperous path if we get good wisdom. And we can be inspired with good wisdom only after we achieve a good heart. So after this incident, God was pleased with us, pleased with our enduring in goodness. God consoled us through Pastor Soojin Lee's spirit-filled messages and her inspiring prayer at the New Year service. As we watched from the testimony of the Friday online service, Mami Magazine. Moreover, these days, God is pouring out His grace upon us, especially during the second part of the Friday all-night service. Personally, as a pastor, I also joined them dancing around. Because I'm not a celebrity, I never experienced people surrounding me cheering for me. But as I saw church members cheering around me, I was so happy. I felt like a celebrity. I heard this news from a secretary office. As senior pastor saw the pictures of our offering service during the Friday all-night service, he said that we are like early church. Especially during the second part of the Friday all-night service, the divine healing meeting, Father God manifested great works through handkerchief prayer. It felt like senior pastor was here with us and prayed for us. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I think the great reversal has already begun. I think the incident of, you know, the General Assembly meeting last year, when we did that, we were at the bottom. So we are now going up. I think our church is in that situation. We are going up. I appreciate your effort to keep your faith. I also appreciate the church workers to keep your flock. But there's something we have to keep in mind. No matter how hard we, only when we do everything in goodness can we bring joy to Father God. Because in heaven we have only goodness and love. So in each of our life, we have to bear fruit of goodness and love. So today, I've reminded you that to pursue good thoughts, first, we ought to have positive thoughts in all affairs. Second, we should always consider others' positions. And third, we should regard our situation with the heart of God. By always pursuing good thoughts, I challenge you to achieve goodness quickly, come forth as perfect fruit of goodness, and help the shepherd as spiritual warriors in this end time. I pray that all of us will enter New Jerusalem as perfect fruit of wheat.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.